I invite you to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. If you happen to be using one of our pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 840. That's 840. Our public reading of Holy Scripture, which is also our sermon text for this morning, is Ezekiel 37 and the first 10 verses, verses 1 through 10. Before we read, let's pray together. God, our Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, asking that you would open our minds and our hearts, our spiritual eyes to the truth of your word, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of your willingness, in fact, readiness to revive us. I pray, Lord, that we would be open to your ministry of the word this morning as Schwab comes to share it with us. But speak to us now as we read these living words of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning.
The title for this sermon is from one of the verses. Can dry bones live again? Can dry bones live again? In 1999, when I was a refugee in Pakistan, without hope, without job, without knowing the language, without a good relationship, I was in the lowest point of my life. Basically, I was one of those dry bones, one of thousands, one of millions, living in there. But something happened. Jesus reached me, and then a Christian couple spoke the word of life to me. I studied Bible, and by the Spirit of God, I remember that morning of fall 1999, I came to Miriam and I said, "I believe in Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord." This is the same story. Dry bones became life. It's got life in them. And you know, when we came to Canada in 2000, our children were 1.5 and 2.5, and we were watching TV, and one of our favorite shows was Mr. Rogers. Remember him? His famous phrase, "It's a good day in the neighborhood." He spoke the word of life to million people in North America. I'm sure that you have similar experiences like me or like others. What I would like you to do now, just for 10 seconds, 15 seconds, just thank God for individual or individuals who spoke the words of life into your specific life. Please do so. We thank God for those individuals. Some of them, they are dead. But thank God for each one of them, for their lives. You know, on October 17, which was my son's birthday, the Canadian government officially legalized the use of marijuana. What a gift. My son became 15. Dr. Stuart Ralston, a professor from rheumatology at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland, said in a statement, "Our research has shown that heavy users of cannabis have quite a large reduction in bone density compared with non-users, and there is a real concern that this may put them at increased risk of developing osteoporosis and fracture later in life." The researcher asked the participant if they used marijuana or any other drugs and whatever they had ever had a fracture. The researchers also asked the people about their diets to see how much calcium they consumed. The researchers also measured the people's bone densities with X-ray tests. It turned out that the people who had smoked marijuana in their lives had 5% lower bone density than those who had never smoked pot. Moreover, the regular marijuana user had experienced more fractures throughout their lives, an average compared with the people who had never used marijuana, the researchers found. Nationally, about 4.2 million, or 15% of Canadians aged 15 years and older, reported some of use of cannabis products for medical or non-medical use in the past 3 months. More than half, 50% of the users, indicated they will use some form of cannabis daily or weekly, while provincial prevalence of cannabis use in the past 3 months ranged from 10% in Quebec to 20% in Nova Scotia and 17% in Manitoba. You see, and the result of legalizing cannabis in Canada, there will be many more dry bones. Many more dry bones. On the top of other dry bones who do not have faith in Jesus or do not have spiritual life as you and I do. The dry bone that Ezekiel saw were the result of wars and violence. But the dry bones that we see in our families and communities are the result of being away from God and His words. Yeah, that's very important. Sometimes people say, do you think that the Muslims are coming to Canada is a problem? I said, no, the problem is how much we get further from God and His word. This is the real problem. More than 2 million Afghans have been killed in the last 40 years. You see, when it comes to dry bones, we see the multitude as Ezekiel saw. We see numbers like 5 to 6 million Jews were killed among the Holocaust genocide by Nazis. And the reality is that still we have yesterday's shootings, the same hatred. 800 to 900,000 were killed in tribal genocide in Rwanda. Close to 3 million people were killed in Cambodia during the Pol Pot regime. 250,000 people were killed during the Syrian war. We see the numbers, but God sees the individuals. An older Jewish man who was killed in the Holocaust, a young man who was killed in Rwanda, a woman who was raped and killed in Cambodia, and a child was killed in Syria. A young student who was killed in the result of a suicide bombing in Afghanistan, or a TV reporter who was killed by explosion in Iraq. You see, these are individuals. And Ezekiel 18:32, God says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live." As I studied and meditated in these verses, I would like to share with you a couple of my reflections. The first reflection is, the Lord took hold of me. The verse 1 that we read here. And the Message paraphrase, you know, the Eugene Peterson, thank God for his service and his faith. He recently died. Great loss for the evangelical communities around the world. But in that message, here it says, he says, God grabbed me. You see, I give some analogy to explain this, that when we want to show something important or interesting to our kids to get their attentions, what do? We grab them. We grab him. You know, it's true. We grab them. When we grab our kid, we have complete control over them. They can't move, basically. Or sometimes, you know, when the car is coming and the child is just want to go on the street, what we do? We run and grab them from danger. One commentator said, in this year, there are going to be many things that will grab you. Other things that will grab for you. What you allow to grab you will determine your year. Interesting, in these days, there is a big fuss about this caravans coming from Honduras to Guatemala to Mexico and to the United States. And we have a worker in Honduras, and he said that these people are desperate people from violence, from unemployment, they leave Honduras, and others will join them. They will walk around 1,100 miles. Thank God that American economy is strong. Thank God for that. What is about 7,000 refugees? Bring 100,000 of them. And this economy will get stronger. There's a big fuss, and I always say that when it comes to refugees, God is always in their side. Always. Doesn't matter. God is always in the side of refugee and oppressed. And when we are positioning ourselves against it, it's a very dangerous area. Because basically we are positioning ourselves against God. And just pray. Please, keep prayer. I know some of you who follow Pastor Mark, he's in his Facebook and his comment. You see, he was born and raised in the United States. And he has a heart. Part of his heart is to see kingdom come to the United States, to see the word of God be in there. And it's part of his DNA. And we have to support him and like him, others. That, yes, we want a kingdom to come to that country and the word of God. And supporting refugees is part of that. We want to be grabbed by God like Ezekiel, not against God. Or not to be grabbed by the things. You know, one of the reasons that the Canadian government legalized marijuana is to make money. Just to make billions of money. Because they are grabbed by that. And what we want to be grabbed by God. You want to be to position ourselves where God can speak to us. Or the same with American government administration. They want to spread the fear. fear of these immigrants or refugees. You know, fear is always against the faith. If we come back to the child, Jesus says, let your faith would be like a child. They don't have fear. And we want to be grabbed by God. We want to be grabbed by God's presence in my daily life and in the church. We want to be grabbed by God's heart for the lost, the broken, the hurt, the lonely, the hungry, the naked, and the thirsty. We want to be grabbed by God's word. Here is how we can allow God to grab us. Position yourself, like Ezekiel, to be grabbed by God. And that's very key in our life. To position ourselves to be grabbed. God will grab us. It means taking some risk. Yes, there's always risk in our life. Taking some risk to position ourselves to be grabbed by God. Number two, prioritize your spiritual walk. We have to be willing to be discipled and transformed by Him. If I don't want to be discipled, I'm not sure if I will be grabbed by God. Now I have some people who disciple me, and I have some people that I disciple. It's always both ways works. And we all, doesn't matter how age are, what is our age, what is our occupation, what is our background, we all need to be disciples and disciple others. Number three, be open to change. Only people who are dead cannot be changed. As long as we live, we should be willing for a positive change according to the word of God. That's why we must make sure that we are grabbed by God. Number two, can these bones live again? Usually we ask God many questions. Usually, I do, and all of us, we ask God, why? Or we present our prayers, or some cases we present our shopping list to God. Lord, this do, and we check mark, God did this, and the second one, third one, fourth one. But when we are grabbed by God, sometimes God asks us questions. The same He did to Ezekiel. As followers of Jesus, we cannot be silent or quiet to the things that happen around us, like legalization of marijuana in Canada, or violence and killings in Afghanistan, or corruption in Honduras, or religious persecution in China, Russia, and Islamic countries. Sometimes we might feel we are in a hopeless situation like Ezekiel. For example, when we see dry bones in our families, communities, cities, or another country like Afghanistan, or Honduras, or Russia, or Ukraine, or Middle East, and God asks us, can these bones live again? We should remember, number one, that we are talking to the Lord, Yahuwah, the self-existing one. Ezekiel had faith. Nothing is hopeless with God. Nothing is impossible with God. When Sarah was 90 years old, God told her that she would bear a son. Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God reminded Jeremiah. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? The angel Gabriel reminded Mary. Luke 1:37. For what with God, nothing shall be possible. Jesus encouraged His disciples. Matthew 19:26. But when this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. In this season of life, we might see ourselves or our surrounding as being a valley of dry bones. Or we might ask ourselves, can these bones live again? Some of us, we have some personal things as well, and these challenges in our lives, or family challenges, that we ask, can this dry bone live again? Maybe it's marriage, finances, debt, dreams, family, relationship, health, altitude, faith, and your spiritual journey. The call of God on our life. Can these bones live again? Can this situation be changed? If some of us are in that situation, then my third reflection will help you. Third reflection. This heading I took from another preacher's sermon. You know, this is why I'm telling. It's allowed. The preacher can take some words from other preachers. It's called, Dead Bones Have Ears. Dead bones have ears. Ezekiel didn't know that. But dead bones have ears. And here is what the message says. Message. Shh. Dry bones have ears. If only you can prophesy. Maybe you have never heard this before. Dry bones have ears. If only you can speak, mountains have ears. If only you can command. You remember the command that Jesus gave? If you have faith, you can tell to the mountain and they will be moved. When Ezekiel came face to face with dry bones, he was only asked to do one thing, because the bones have ears, even though they are bones and they are very dry. Verse 7, I repeat to you. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesied, there was a noise after Ezekiel prophesied, and suddenly and rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. The bones began to come alive when Ezekiel speaks the words, but there is only the appearance of life. The bodies are without breath, with no spirit, no soul. Ezekiel has to call upon the breath or winds to give authentic life to the bodies. The tragedy of life, here is what it says, Albert Schweitzer says, the tragedy of life is what dies inside a man while he lives. The tragedy of life is what is dies inside a man while he lives. You see, in 1999, my tragedy was that I was living, but I did not have a hope. This is why I was dry bone. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. The question hasn't changed. Can these bones live? There is no life apart from the Spirit of God. Here is, I would like to connect this one with our ministry. And Romans 10:10-4 says, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. All the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how they can believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless anyone tells them? You see, all of us, we have a call from God. Some of us, our call is in our family. Some of us in our community. Some of us at our job. And some of us also to speak these words to the people who never heard it, like Afghans. We get messages that people say, we never heard about Christianity. We never heard about Bible. We don't know about Jesus. And here, we are sharing the Word of God and the heart of God for them. You know, last week there was a parliamentary election in Afghanistan, and there are a lot of corruption, a lot of things are happening. And we had a devotion, and we said, yes, we wanted you to go and vote, but make sure that you vote for those who are not involved in killings, for those who are not involved in corruption, for those who are not involved in hatred. This is the gospel message. A man called from southern Afghanistan, where mostly Taliban in that area, and he is the head of the criminal investigators in that province. He's a police, top police man there. And he says, I believe in Jesus, and we are here. If you need anything, you tell us. You see, this is, we do our job to share the gospel, but it's God's Spirit who moves people, who changed their heart. One other man called, he says, I believe in Jesus as my Lord. And I said to him, okay, did you read the Bible? He said, no, I'm illiterate. And I said, how come you believe in Jesus as your Lord? He says, the Spirit of the Lord revealed it to me. Who I am to say something. We have to let the Spirit of the Lord to reveal to us and to reveal to those people. And this is a great message that we have. What is the application for today's words of God or today's verses? Without our Lord Jesus, we are all dry bones, shattered and scattered all over without hope to live again. This is the number one truth. Without Jesus, we are all dry bones. With Jesus Christ, our dry bones transform to living bones with hope to live again. Interesting. To live again. Even if we die, we live again. What we believe in Jesus, when we believe in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord, we are able to proclaim and to speak the word of life to other dry bones, that they also can become living bones through Jesus Christ. Here is our job. Without Jesus, we are dry bones. We receive Jesus, our dry bones become living bones. And here is our job to tell to other dry bones that there is a hope, that they can become living again. But the condition is that we have to be grabbed by God. We have to be grabbed by God. We have to give 100% control to God, 100% control to God. If 99% doesn't work, 98.5% doesn't work. We have to give 100% control to God to be grabbed by God. We should be willing to be grabbed by God. The second is to obey what God says. Ezekiel said, I spoke as he told me. Jesus said, go make disciples. And this is what we are doing. This is what Pastor Mark does, Pastor Chris, and others in this church are doing. Here is how we can apply this passage alongside Jesus' word in our daily life. Number one, speak the word of life in the name of Jesus all the time. All the time. You know, we got a small dog now, a couple months, and we realized that we love that. His name is Pumbaa, and we realize that sometimes we speak the word of life to him more than we speak to one another. And I think we have to be careful how much we speak to the people, that they will be transformed as well. In joyful situation and in challenging situation, such as cancer, mental illness, hopelessness, depression, loss of job, the list can go on and on. We have to speak the word of life in the name of Jesus. My wife Miriam works in the hospital St. Boniface. As she brings food to patients, she tries to pray with people and speak to them with word of comfort and hope. This is her gift. This is her gift, basically. This is her ministry. She brings encouragement to people. Pastor Mark meets people all the time. He loves to call people from different background or ethnicity by their name, first name. Yeah, that's a gift. That's a gift. I know some pastors for a long time, when we meet, they say, okay, by the way, what was your name? No, when Pastor Mark meets somebody first time, he remembers their name and he calls them by their name. Or he smiles or give hug. Same Pastor Chris. You know, one hug can change a life of a person. I was in Leicester, England, and one Afghan man came and he said, here is his word. He says, I was drug addict. I was lonely. I didn't have money. I was basically on the street. I came to church, opened the door on Sunday, and the pastor hugged me. That hug changed his life. He became Christian because of one hug. Practice the word of life in our daily habits. We have people in Honduras. They speak to these people, to the violence, in the midst of drug violence, in the midst of gangs, they speak the word of life in Honduras, in the most challenging places. Or in Central America, or in Ukraine, corruption in Ukraine, or religious persecution in Russia, or Islamic things in Afghanistan. And be reminded that Jesus is in the business of giving life all the time. Basically, he wants to give life. And might be there be someone here who thinks he is a dry bone without hope, without confidence. God is inviting that person to believe in Jesus and be transformed and live again. Or perhaps someone in our family or community is like dry bones without hope and life. We can speak the word of life into their lives. Three things will happen as a result of speaking the words of life as a habit. Number one, we know and have confidence that we are grabbed by God. When we speak the word of life, it tells us that we are grabbed by God. We give control to God. Number two, transformation will happen in the lives of our loved ones or communities, and dry bones will live again by the Spirit of God. You see, this transformation can come in Afghanistan in a village, or in the United States, or in Canada, or in our own family. Number three, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord. The dry bones or the lost will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the great commission that we are all called to do. May the Lord bless you.